Podshow is pleased to bring you the following killer content direct from the all-new feature-rich podshow.com. Get it, play it, dig it.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago and Camelot. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Like a blade of corn, like a honeybee, like a waterfall, all a part of me, like the color purple. Where do it come from? Open up your eyes. Look what God has done.
And you're listening to Windy City Queercast, show number 101. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick, and a little bit of an ass because I deleted this banter on accident before.
It's not an ass. It's a cute ass.
It is a cute. It's a sore
ass.
I've been riding my bike like the wind.
I don't know. Do you get chaffed?
No, I have a good seat.
Yeah, but you can still get chaffed.
No.
Like butt butter on your chaffed ass.
No, Marona is like the house brand of Target, and they have these good like all spandexy lycra nylon-y elastic things.
Mm.
So I just wear that and it protects my bits and pieces.
Your bits and pieces. Well, it is very exciting to have the show after our big 100th show.
Yeah.
And hope you all enjoyed that. We are now into the next 100 of our shows as we head
into the next 300 of our shows. The next 500.
What's the next big number? I guess 200 would be big.
Is it
250? I don't know. 250.
Maybe 150 is pretty significant too.
150, you think?
Yeah.
We'll be there before you know it.
Well, it'll be a year. I mean, it'll be a year? So what, July when we were fully podcast?
August.
So that maybe will be our next celebration.
That'll be the next celebration.
Podcast turds for a year.
Podcast turds. What a weekend. It was
gorgeous in Chicago.
It was gorgeous and I was busy and just feels like we are rolling downhill into summer for
Absolutely. I went to Milwaukee. It was delightful.
How was that?
Delightful.
What'd you do there?
Went to, spent a night, went to some bars. I believe his name is Hay. Shout out to Mike, Mike at Switch.
Didn't you at least get
handsome.
His name?
Well, that was the last bar we hit.
Oh, and I thought
we
this
started,
was who you took
oh,
home.
No. I was with friends. We started on the train at about 5 in the afternoon drinking. So this was about, 11:45 midnight.
Yeah.
It was real full.
Yeah.
I was real full.
Yeah.
Well, it was a good time.
That's awesome.
What'd you do?
You know, I did my show. I did theater all weekend.
Yay.
And I don't even know much beyond that. I had some really amazing shows and just some good times. Went to Mary's Attic and hung out with the cast and crew after the show on Saturday and went to Hamburger Mary's and then to Mary's Attic. And if you don't live in Chicago, it's just a great burger joint in Andersonville. And
I prefer Mary's Attic though. I think it's just cooler upstairs.
I love Mary's Attic. We needed to eat. We were like hungry, so we did the food thing and we went up. It was perfect. It was totally perfect. And so yeah, but other than that, you know, my girlfriend went to see the Dalai Lama on Sunday. The Dalai Lama was here in Chicago on Sunday and I was not able to attend, but she went, waited in line 3 hours to see His Holiness.
Wow.
I guess it was really amazing. She's seen him before. She saw him in Central Park a number of years ago, but I guess there was a long, 3 hour long line.
Was it like a receiving line to say hi?
No. You didn't get to see him. You just heard him speak, but they had it in Millennium Park and it was all winded around just to kind of enter the area in which you'd be able to hear with the loudspeakers and standing outside. And,
wow.
But it was pretty intense. From what I hear, there were just an enormous amount of people downtown Chicago for
that.
So that
missed my radar. I missed that completely.
It didn't ours. Like everybody we knew, we're kind of a heading out and going down there. And I imagine if anybody was trying to get downtown on Sunday, it was a bit of a nightmare Sunday afternoon, just because there was a lot of attention on him being in town. He was on the cover of every newspaper, Red Eye, and
after the fact, though, not before.
No, before Friday, really? Friday, Saturday.
Oh, that's why I was.
You were in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I wasn't here. Would explain it.
But just an amazing man, you know. And it's if you haven't seen Kundun, you know the film.
Yeah.
It's kind of the story of his life. It's just fascinating, like what will happen when he passes. You know, he's 71 years old, and so it's very interesting. It's very interesting. So, and I'm very excited. On our next show, you know, we're going to be talking a little bit about stuff that's going on in some of the Muslim world with our guest on the next podcast, which will be coming up in just
next one or two, I think.
In some of the next couple ones. So we'll be talking about that more. But anyhow, that's what she did. And so it kind of feels like I did that, even though I didn't.
By proxy.
Vicariously through her. But it was a great weekend to be out and doing that. And the bikes are starting and the running and all of that feels like everything's alive and awake. And the trees here are gorgeous.
Yep.
All of the pear trees, and I don't know if they're crab apples or what are those really purpley red
sugar maples.
Are they?
Yeah, the real dark ones.
Like the cherry blossomy looking trees?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
They're not.
I don't think they're maples. Not if they're flowering like that, unless it's a flowering maple, I guess.
Oh wait, the white and the pink ones are cherry blossoms. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But are you talking about like the dark red leaves?
Oh no, those are Japanese maples. I have one of those, but
those have the pot leaves. These look like regular maple leaves. So they're just dark. We had one of those because we had the only red tree on the block in the spring.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous.
It is.
My tulips have come and gone, but other people's are really exploding. And beautiful, and the grass is really green. We've had a lot of rain. We're supposed to have rain this week, so
not too much, I hope.
Well, but it's okay because we're gonna have a hot summer. And
yeah, but so I want to ride to work.
I know, but the rain is good, makes everything look so pretty and helps our planet, so it's good.
And there was an Oprah celebrity explosion downtown just a few days ago.
Yeah, the opening of The Color Purple has hit Chicago and literally fantastic reviews. Chris Jones of the Chicago Tribune says this is the best of the three versions of the musical. He saw it in Atlanta, and he saw it on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
And he saw it here. He said it's truly now kind of found its stride. It has no apologies anymore. It knows what it is. Really loves the cast.
Wow.
So we have a big group going tomorrow night to go see it, the Windy City Times Theater Series. It's our last show of the year, and I am thrilled. I cannot wait to see it.
Show of the season, though. Won't it start back up in the fall?
It'll start back up, but this is the last of this subscription season.
Yeah.
But and tonight or today, whenever you're listening to us, on our show, we've got one of the stars of The Color Purple. She was the Broadway star and Tony nominated, as well as the star of the Chicago production, which will go on tour to San Francisco. If you're listening to our show from the West Coast, you'll be able to catch her and the fantastic cast, The Color Purple, pretty soon. Not that soon, but pretty soon in the next year. Felicia Fields is on our show, who plays Sophia, which is hot. You told Hoppo to hit me. Yeah. So Felicia's on the show today. Plus, we've got lots of news. And
Jerry's with us.
And Jerry kinds of good Potter's
stuff. A little musical moment with him.
So stay tuned and listen to us. We'll be back after this.
Camelot, as never seen before. For one brief shining moment, light transcended darkness. It was a time before legend. Honor and a man's word were all. Glory was forged in steel. One man's vision would unite a nation. Another man's love would divide it. Romance and passion, love and treachery. Once there was a spot where men dared to dream. Camelot returns to the stage like you have never seen it before.
Michael York in Camelot, a timeless masterpiece where honor and chivalry reign. Playing at the LaSalle Bank Theater May 1st through 13th. For tickets, call 312-902-1400.
It's time to dust off that tux and ball gown and throw on your dancing shoes, because the annual HRC Chicago Gala is right around the corner. Join us June 16th at the Hilton Chicago on South Michigan Avenue for HRC's Tickled Pink Gala, celebrating Chicago's GLBT community with dinner, dancing, a silent auction, and many more surprises. This year's keynote speaker is Academy Award-winning actress and newest star of The L Word, Marley Matlin. For more, visit TickledPink2007.com, and tickets are on sale now at boxofficetickets.com. Just search for HRC Chicago to get your tickets today.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Mr. Edible.
Your true genius combined two of man's favorite things, panties and food.
I can taste it now.
They're a snack. They're underwear. They're a snack and underwear. Brilliant.
Two treats in one.
Gorgeous grape. Rock my world raspberry. Bodacious banana.
26 flavors.
And nothing says I want you like a man with a mouthful of underpants.
I want you, flavor.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker. Because thanks to you, when it comes to panties, extra large means extra yummy.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance. Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
In your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 29th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Pulp is back and better than ever. About Face Theater's deliciously campy homage to the sultry world of lesbian pulp fiction starts this week, May 2nd through the 20th, for 3 weeks only. Join playwright Patricia Kane and the original cast for the return of the hit comedy The Tribune called funny, smart, and eminently entertaining, and the LA Times hailed as a comic bullseye. Get your tickets for Pulp now at aboutfacetheater.com. Many shows are already sold out.
Now at Writer's Theater, the puppet master of Lodes, Chicago Sun-Times, says the artistry is all highly imaginative and strangely beautiful, a mesmerizing portrayal. After escaping from Auschwitz, a once revered puppet master has barricaded himself in an attic. In an attempt to bring back his lost family, he prepares for his greatest puppet show ever. For more about the puppet master of Lodes, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Travel to the interior of Liberia with the world premiere play Black Diamond. Chicago Sun-Times calls it remarkable, hugely ambitious theatrical debut, and it is a Chicago Tribune critic's pick, playing now through May 20th at Looking Glass Theater Company in the Water Tower Waterworks downtown. For tickets to Black Diamond, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
Glitterati Productions present the Chicago premiere of Ken Ludwig's hysterical backstage farce, Moon Over Buffalo. The funniest show, says columnist Liz Smith. Superbly acted and glamorously costumed, this fast-paced comedy leaves the audience breathless from laughter. Playing now at Theater Building Chicago, 1225 West Belmont. See Moon Over Buffalo. You'll laugh your moon off. For tickets, visit theaterbuildingchicago.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jerry Potter's Picks. The gayest concert of the summer is coming to your doorstep and hitting 15 cities. The True Colors Tour includes music from the new Erasure CD called Light at the End of the World. This Erasure album is what you've been waiting for. It's upbeat with the song I Could Fall in Love with You. I'm impressed with the single already. Cyndi Lauper will be on tour with this group. She has a new CD coming out and just sang on The View with her rendition of acoustic True Colors. I've met her. She's great to her fans. Actually, I met Debbie Herrick and Margaret Choher both in this event, so this is my kind of show. Money goes to support the Human Rights Campaign. Go to truecolorstour.com for more information. See you on the front row of the summer music extravaganza. This is Jerry Potter on Windy City Queercast.
And this is your Windy City Queercast news.
By a vote of 59 to 37, the Iowa House has joined the state Senate in passing a bill that outlaws sexual orientation and gender identity discrimination. However, the House added as an amendment that confirms state law that marriage is only between a man and a woman. Governor Culver has said he will sign the bill, which will make Iowa the 18th state to ban sexual orientation bias and the 10th to ban gender identity discrimination in areas of housing, public accommodations, and the workplace.
The U.S. House Judiciary Committee Committee has voted to send the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, which expands the categories in the current federal hate crimes law to include gender identity and sexual orientation, to the full House. This is the Matthew Shepard bill. The bill supporters say the measure will cut down crime. Conservatives feel that the bill would punish thinking because hatred is the impetus for most crimes. Mm.
The New York Public Library has acquired an archive of letters, manuscripts, and other materials accumulated by the late gay rights activist Barbara Giddings and her partner, photojournalist Kay Tobin Lawson. The collection includes papers describing Giddings' founding of the East Coast chapter of the Daughters of Bilitis, the first national lesbian organization.
In California, transgendered student Cynthia Covarrubias lost in the race for prom king at Fresno High School. School officials added Covarrubias to the prom king ballot despite the fact that she is biologically female, complying with a state statute regarding the expression of gender identity.
National gay newspaper Guild President Sue O'Connell has expressed opposition to a proposed U.S. Senate bill that would ban advertising newly approved drugs for 2 years. Quote, for people living with illnesses like HIV and AIDS, a statutory 2-year silence on advertising new drug options makes no sense at all. Worse, it is likely to betray a patient's knowledge and the ability to speak to their physician about new therapies as they emerge.
Former New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy and his wife, Dina McGreevy, are in divorce court, marking their first public encounter since he came out of the closet in 2004. The contentious process has the two accusing each other of everything from bad parenting to homophobia. They have a 5-year-old daughter.
The National Gay and Lesbian Journalists Association has launched a podcast called Outspoken. The first episode is entitled Outspoken on Don Imus and Shock Jocks, which can be downloaded at nlgja.org.
Actor Hugh Grant has been arrested in an incident in which he allegedly assaulted a photographer with a container of baked beans. Photographer Ian Whitaker has claimed that Grant threw a plastic bean-filled container at him after he requested a picture, resulting in the shutter bug being covered in bruises and beans.
All I can see is Anne Margaret and the beans from Tom.
It's crazy.
In my mind. Adam Sandler and Kevin James are gay for pay in their next film. In I Now Pronounce You, Chuck and Larry, the twosome are firemen who pretend to be a gay couple in order to get domestic partnership benefits. Sandler said, quote, I know Kevin, and it's kind of strange. It's kind of a strange thing to have to play. So to ease the tension, before the first day of shooting, we had sex with each other.
Good for them. Go for broke. Method actors.
Oh, my.
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
This is Katie Curtis, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
The color purple is in town, and though our town has been green for the past couple of years with Wicked, there is a new color in town, and it is purple. Purple everywhere. Audiences just love this show, and with Oprah Winfrey attached and it taking up house downtown Chicago at the beautiful Cadillac Palace Theater, you know it's going to be box office gold. Of the 11 Tony Award nominations for The Color Purple, the musical, one was for my friend and fellow Chicagoan Felicia P. Fields. Chicago audiences know her performances at Marriott Theater, Northlight Theater, Chicago Shakespeare, playing everything from Ma Rainey's Black Bottom to Dreamgirls to Ain't Misbehavin'. And I cannot be happier that she is headlining the Chicago cast, reprising her award-winning Broadway role as Sophia. Welcome home, girl.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, Miss Amy?
It's so good to see you back in Chi-Town.
Oh, it's great to see you. It is great to see you. I mean, I saw you in New York.
We did. I flew to New York specifically to see you.
Yes.
And to see you shine and Broadway light.
It was so good to see you because I was so homesick. Everybody, every time someone from Chicago would come to the backstage door, I'd go, yes! Thank you, God.
Well, you know, it's amazing because I would see you on television and interviews, and they weren't interviews from people in Chicago, and all the time you would always be going, Chicago!
That's right.
You are a homegirl. So tell me a little bit. I know that you loved being the big Broadway star, and you'll never not be the big Broadway star, but you must be so happy to be home.
Oh, my God. I don't think I can find words to describe how excited I am to be at home.
Yeah.
I mean, you never, you know, my mother's always told me, you know, you never miss your water till your well runs dry. And so you go away from home, and then you go to another city, but there is no place like Chicago.
Well, so what is the big difference? I mean, what is the difference of being kind of an actor and going to the theater every night in New York City and being an actor and going to the theater every night in Chicago?
Well, the thing of it is, and I can only speak from a stage perspective.
Right.
Is you get people from all over the world that come to see shows on Broadway. I think that's mainly what separates, you know, the two. The audiences there are extremely theater savvy because that's what they do. They make a special trip from wherever they come from just to see three or four or five shows.
Right.
You know, and they are very serious about, you know, theater, where some people come for entertainment value only, you know, or they kind of wander in town and they just want something to do. These people have a mission. They pick out what shows they want to see, and that's what they target, you know.
What about for you? I mean, did you love the food on every corner? Did you love all the shops and the crowds? And, I mean, that would seem to be the difference. You might be able to walk to the theater or cab to the theater where you kind of drive
First
and park
of all,
in Chicago.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's extremely expensive. It's unbelievably expensive.
Yeah.
You know, my first night there, I went around the corner to get a sandwich from Stages.
Uh-huh.
And he said $10 or something. I went, you're sending a cow around me, right? I'm like, you got not $10. What am I saying? It's $20. What am I thinking?
$20.
It was a $20 pastrami sandwich.
Yeah. You could eat on for 4 days,
oh,
probably,
my,
but
well,
who wants
eat,
to?
You can eat on it, but I didn't ask for that. I'm not going to eat leftovers for that
yeah.
many days.
So. Yeah.
But, I mean, I just, and then I went to the bodega, and the water was $3 and something. And I go, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I put my hands up. I said, I'm not sticking you up. You're sticking me up.
Well, tell everybody, how did you get cast in this role? I know it happened through your association with Gary Griffin, the director who you've worked with for a number of years.
Yeah, about 14, 15 years now.
And he had made some statement that almost prophesied that this would happen.
Exactly. That's how you look back and you know you're meant to do something. It's like I was working at the Marriott doing Nettie Fowler and Carousel, and that ugly outfit I had on.
The
and
bustle.
No reflection on Nancy Messini.
You're right.
But it was like I walked past the mirror and I looked like Oprah Winfrey in The Color Purple, and I started, you know, it's in the round, Amy, so
right.
I started limping down the aisle going, you told Harpo to beat me. And Gary hollers out, well, if I ever do the musical The Color Purple, I already have my Sophia.
Right.
And my God, if he did not call me a couple months later talking about, you are not going to believe this,
wow.
but I have been commissioned to direct The Color Purple.
And you were the only one he thought of, he said.
Well, the thing about it is that we did a reading here at the Fine Arts Building. It was the very first reading with all Chicago talent, you know, and all of the big wigs, producers, music staff that was involved with the project was here for that in that August. You know, we went through it. The music was, you know, the first time I heard the music, I was at Chicago Shakespeare, and I think we may have been working together.
I think we were.
And
I remember you coming in with your cassette tape player.
Yes, I went upstairs to his office, and he says, you got to hear this. And so I started listening, and my God, that music was off the chain. It's unbelievable because I was saying, this is not your typical musical theater music.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I know that you have, I mean, this character of Sophia is, many people who've seen the movie know this is the part that Oprah Winfrey performed in the film. But through music, they've really showed the journey of this woman, you know, through your number that literally brings down the house, mm-hmm. Hell No,
yeah.
You know, where you kind of tell Celie, you know.
Don't stay here, girl.
Yeah, don't stay here. Don't put up with
this. If a man hits you, get the heck out of there.
Yeah, get the heck out.
Right.
And then we see, you know, even in the juke joint, the number with
push
the fight.
Button.
Yeah, push the button.
No, you're talking about, the one where the girl calls me a big old heifer.
Right, squeak.
Yeah.
Squeaky,
yeah,
your squeak.
She calls me a big old, you ain't nothing but a big old heifer.
Yeah, and you kind of come back around. Of course, it's this great love affair between you and Harpo.
Yeah.
you know, how did that relationship through music, I mean, do you remember when you heard all of these numbers? Was there, you know, the first time you heard Hell No, and did you know exactly what you wanted to do with it? Or, you know, the first time you heard your all's duet in Act Two?
The thing about Hell No was, you know, they give you the demos to listen to. But the thing about Hell No is it is such a strong acting song.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, when you've been singing most of the time, you think about what you can do, you know, with riffs and different things. But this song is like spoken word put to music, because it is telling her so many things, so much information for her is in this, because it's information about how Sophia's life has been and how she looks back on the men that were in her life and what she's taken from them. And she is giving you advice, you know, if a man raises his hand, hell no. She ain't even talking about getting hit.
Right.
Okay, she talking about just let him lift his hand.
Right.
And you're out of here, buddy, okay?
You know, and I think that's interesting, because I think Sophia is the first woman, besides Nettie, which for Celie's sister, mm-hmm. you know, she is informed by all these women of the choices that she has in her life.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Sophia is really that first strong influence of, like, you have a choice how you're treated.
Yeah, and
she's resilient. I mean, she's fearless in that, Sophia.
Right, and this, the difference between, such a difference between the two women that come into her life, because one is motivated by sexual and emotional, you know,
intimacy,
yes.
That's Suge Avery, of course.
Right, the Suge Avery character. And then you have the Sophia character, which is such a strong will, feisty, you know, no nonsense, very opinionated, you know.
Kind of a mother lion type
exactly.
of role, because she has no mother figure
yes.
in the entire.
Because she's had to learn how to take care of herself.
Right. Yeah, from the age of like 14 or younger even.
Even younger, yes.
Yeah, so let's talk about, speaking of mother to the world, let's say, when did you meet Oprah?
Oh man, she came to one of our last rehearsals in, you know, like we're in Lucani now, so I can't remember. It was the Duke in New York, and it was one of these days, it was so crazy because, you know, rehearsals can be tedious, you know, because you have to, and we were going through, I believe we were going through Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And Africa, you know, is in the second act.
It's the beginning of Act Two. It's
yes.
a dance number. And
you know that thing has some dancing in it.
Right.
And so.
I also know that you're not dancing in it.
You got that right. They don't want that. They're not ready for that, Amy. They're not ready for that, okay? But when we go to rehearse in Africa, as we will today,
mm-hmm.
What happens is they stop, they start. And my entrance is like way into the dance. So I was laying on a fake bed
mm-hmm.
in the back. They had already told us that another producer was coming to be introduced to us today. And our thing was, you know, we were at a point where we're like, oh, we have to really start getting down on some of this stuff. And so every time you get somebody that comes in, it interrupts the flow of what's going on. So we were like, okay, fine. I always got makeup on, you know me.
I know you. You are put together for this interview.
This is a day that I have no makeup on. I have a baseball cap or something on my head. And, you know, a black pair of sweatpants and a top. They take newspaper and put it over the window on the door. So I kind of looked at it and I went, wow, what is that about? But, you know, I didn't think about it anymore. And the next thing you know, the big guy comes in, Scott Sanders, and he makes this announcement. And it says, so here is your next producer. And here she comes rolling through that door with cameras, and I am on the back cot sleep. If you look at the pictures, you never see me because I'm like just getting up going like, what's going on? But when I saw what was going on,
oh, yeah, you
I was
woke
like,
up.
Oh my God.
So what did she think of your performance?
Oh, you know,
Amy. Did she say kind words?
Amy, I was like jumping up and down, and I was like, am I stupid? I am the only person in here that she's done the role.
Right.
You know, and so I kind of got myself together, and we're going right into my scene.
Yeah.
So.
Intimidating?
Oh, my God. It's like you're thinking in your head.
Yeah, but she doesn't sing, so you got that on her, girl, because I know you do. I only
as soon as I sang Hell No, she jumped up.
I bet she did, as we all did. We only have a few more minutes. I want to just talk about a couple things before we have to wind down. I want to say, first of all, this is just a fact, that you won the Clarence Derwent Award. This is a very prestigious award. Mm-hmm. Few black performers have ever won it. I want you to tell me real quickly, how do you think The Color Purple is changing things for the African-American community? Just in its existence, the musical, how many black audience members are coming to see the show and will here in Chicago, the amount of roles that it's providing for black performers.
Well, the thing about it is...
I know it's a huge question.
Yeah, it is, and I probably can't get to everything, but I certainly know that it has changed the stats, you know, on Broadway.
Sure.
African Americans are not people that attend theater frequently. As you know, I work in theater here, and 95% of the house is Caucasian.
Right.
So it has really been a flip over.
Right.
And the fact that they already are informed on the sense of what this show is because of the movie.
Right.
They're all very anxious to come to the show.
It's thrilling to be in the audience, I have to say, in New York, and I cannot wait to be here. I want to just ask you one last question, and that is that I think two Chicago gals really just had their dreams kind of come true and really struck gold this year. One is you, the other one is Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
And I know Oscar winner Jennifer Hudson, and I know that you go way back with her.
Yeah.
And can you just talk briefly? I know you were in the Marriott
River
production, Big River, mm-hmm. with Jennifer. She was a young girl, friend of your daughter's.
Yeah.
What advice did you give her at that time, and what do you think about what's going on for her career right now?
Well, actually, I always told her to be honest. Try to keep everything that you do on stage honest, because what comes from the heart reaches the heart. And to just try to, study and take in everything she could take in. Doesn't matter if you're on stage, if it's not your part, you wisely look and listen. And sooner or later, that information will benefit you as to whether or not you should or should not do that. You learn what to do and what not to do.
So have you talked to her in the past year since
Dreamgirls?
Yeah,
when she was in New York, I went to the premiere with, and we were there together. And it was just, I cried because it's like amazing. But who knew that she would go all the way, to the Oscars and take it? It was just
unbelievable. Stories. For both of you, though, I mean, dream stories of women that I feel are
It's so much different. It's so much of a difference between theater and film, because exposure for film is way more public.
The exposure is bigger, but the barriers and the walls and just kind of the energy of class, mm-hmm. and I think also strength that I think both of you have in two different generations is really proving Chicago proud.
Oh,
so let me tell
you,
folks, this is a must-see show. I mean, run, don't walk. Get your tickets now. Get your groups together. Get your mama. Get your sister.
And I want to say this, Amy. I want to say people think that this is a show about African American, but it is definitely not. It's about human life. It's about life for everyone.
Gorgeous and moving and funny. The Color Purple is playing now at the Cadillac Palace Theater. For tickets and information, the easiest thing to do is visit BroadwayInChicago.com. Mared, my good friend, break legs. I'll see you on the stage in Chicago.
Thank you, Amy.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Tell the neighbor your new kid had found the crib.
the best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.